listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea, where we don't even have to go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline for our guest. He's right here with us, your analyst from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Doug Deacon, is with us. Deke, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Just ready to get it rolling.
All right, Deke, I got a couple pieces of news that I want to get your take on. The first is the Browns captains, as voted on by the players, just announced, and it is quarterback RG3, Joe Thomas, Joe Hayden, DeMario Davis, and Tank Carter.
Well, I think, you know, it shows, obviously, that, you know, when you're the quarterback of the team, you're supposed to be a leader, and to be voted a captain, that would be a sign that he has endeared himself to the rest of the team, and they have some respect to him. And same with DeMario Davis. You know, he's a new guy on the block. He comes in, he's shown he's a professional, and the guys, you know, respect that, and they've voted him a team captain. And, of course, Tank Carter, you know, after Batamosi and those guys left, he's your new core special teams guy.
Yeah, and I think it says a lot about this new regime, what Hugh Jackson has brought in, the culture change that has happened, because and it's something that we discussed in the offseason, Nathan, about, you know, there were no leaders, you know, in this locker room. And now you get Hayden, you get Thomas, and some of that is because they're so highly tenured. But to allow a new guy to come in and assume that role and walk the walk that Hugh Jackson asked them to walk each and every day goes to show that, you know, you can come in and make an impact as a young player or a free agent. And I think that is something that should be enticing, you know, a year from now as we start 2017.
I agree. The other bit of news is that, not really news, but just opinion that comes out. Brian Billick said that he looked at the Browns' schedule and sees exactly zero wins. He says it's impossible to even find one game the Browns can win. He just went so far as, after he got attacked by Browns fans on Twitter, to say, if they go into Philly and win, I'll wear a Browns jersey to open NFL game day show for week number two. So hopefully he will be wearing a Browns jersey. But when you look at this schedule, what are your expectations for this team, Deke?
Well, my expectations, because of the youth on it, is it's a team that's going to be better in week 10 than it is in week 1. And I think you look at all, what, there are 16 rookies on the team or something like that, second youngest team in the NFL. I think this team is going to have some growing pains. And, you know, obviously there's some question marks in regards to the defense stopping the run. There's some, you know, question marks on the offensive side of the ball. If, you know, the offensive line with the replacement of Mack and Schwartz, is that going? How's that going to fit? And whether or not they can run the ball consistently, because, you know, running the football helps your offensive line and definitely helps your quarterback if you have that ability. And on the defensive side, we've got to learn to stop the run, because teams are just going to run right down our throat if we don't.
That's exactly right. And Deke, that's actually led me to my next point, is we know the Philadelphia is going to run the football to alleviate the pressure on Carson Wentz. But for Carson Wentz starting in his first football game, what other type of game planning situations besides a solid run game can the Philadelphia Eagles really kind of put together in hopes to not put the pressure on Wentz and have him not lose the football game himself?
Well, I think, you know, if you're a quarterback, you just have him throw to a third of the field. You know, just, you know, don't try to make him have too many reads. If you go back and you look at the history of Doug Peterson being with Andy and Reed in Kansas City, I think over the last 3 years, they threw the ball more than any other team in the NFL. I don't think you'll see that with Philadelphia. And, you know, Doug Peterson, is the next generation of Josh McCown. There's a lot of similarities in the two people. And, you know, when Doug was here, he's a great guy. And I think, you know, you want to wish him success, but that's the following 15 games.
That's right.
Absolutely. Talking with Doug Deacon, the analyst from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Deke, I just have a hard time. You know, Adam Kaplan came on the show and then basically made it sound like you would have thought at the end his summation would be that the Browns were going to win with all the issues with Wentz starting, how it wasn't in the plans. He's had zero reps with the first team offense at all until this very week. Hasn't played in the preseason, only 38 snaps. And then at the end he goes, they're going to beat the Browns by 10 easy. So I said, kind of surprising to him. Huh? We're like, what? How ready can Carson Wentz possibly be to play this game? Coming from North Dakota State, where he missed 8 games a year ago, he misses basically the entire preseason other than 38 snaps week 1 against Tampa, in a game where he, quite frankly, didn't even look good. And he goes from a guy that they weren't going to play all year. Then they trade Sam Bradford. Now he's the starter. And like I said, didn't even work with the first team until this week. How ready can he possibly be?
That's a good question. I would be surprised if he's totally, you know, ready. I mean, I remember Tim Couch's first year, and we, you know, tried to get Detmer in there, and then they brought Tim in against the Steelers, and he just got hammered. I think, you know, if it gets into a situation where they have to pass, then they've got a problem. So, you know, I think we'll see a lot of eight men in the box for the Browns defense.
And when you have eight guys in the box, and I'll ask both of you from the defensive and offensive perspective, shouldn't you be able to stop the run? Like, shouldn't you be able to, if you commit to stopping the run, to the where you're going to say, all right, I feel comfortable with Joe Hayden and Tremont and Jamar Taylor one-on-one with Jordan Matthews, Nelson Aguilar, and Josh Huff, that you should be able to stop the run?
You would like to think so. You would like to
and
think
didn't
so.
We see that, though, last year?
Yeah.
To no avail?
Yeah, I mean, we've got some young kids that, you know, are going to get their eyes opened up because it's a totally different game. It's hard to say, okay, preseason's one thing, but the regular season's another. I don't think these, you know, you don't know until you experience because it just notches it up quite a bit.
And they have a good offensive line with Lane Johnson, do. Jason Peters, Jason Kelsey as well.
They do. And Deke, the one question that I have, and it just goes back to, you know, new coach, new regime, everything's new here in Cleveland. What would it mean for such a young team to go on the road week one, get a win, you know, when everybody's picking you to lose? What would they do for their esteem and their morale coming back home against the division rival Baltimore Ravens?
Well, I think it would give them a lot of confidence. And, you know, they always say what comes first, success or confidence. Well, you know, when you go 0-4 in the preseason, I think, you know, they obviously wanted to win some of those games or would like to have won some of those games, and they didn't. But just to get that taste in your mouth because, you know, a lot of these guys have come from winning programs in college, and all of a sudden you play your first four games and, you know, you lose in the preseason. You sit there and you don't want that atmosphere to continue. You know, you
right.
want to put an end to it. You want to walk out of the locker room with your head up, not with your head down.
Absolutely, and hopefully find a way to start off. They've beaten the Eagles the last four times they have faced them. The Eagles, however, have won four of the last five on opening day. We know the Browns have not been good on opening day. Deke, is there something to that? I mean, it couldn't be one coaching group, you know, and struggling to get them going early because there's been change after change after change. But how important is this first game, especially for Hugh Jackson, to kind of taste victory with these guys?
Well, it would be a big plus. I mean, you know, if you're going to buy into the program, wins really help you. I mean, it expedites the process. But, you know, the reality is you also have a very young football team. And how he, you know, game plans against the Eagles is going to be interesting to see. You know, we want to see Terrell Pryor run something than a go route.
Right.
You know, we want to see Corey Coleman find out where he knows where to line up and how they can utilize him in different ways. But I think, you know, most importantly, we want to get the running game going because we need to take the pressure off the offensive line and especially the quarterback.
Doug, at this point right now, this might be the last time I speak to you before the pregame show, right before we kick things off. But which rookie do you think is going to have the biggest impact either offensively or defensively for the Cleveland Browns because we have so many of them on such a young team?
Well, that's, you know, you would like to think Corey Coleman on the offensive side. But, you know, what we saw in game four, you know, maybe they can simplify it for him in his reps that he gets during the course of the game. You know, Nassib and Agba. I mean, Nassib, they've got him on the second team. But, you know, if Philadelphia comes out in a lot of nickels, we're going to see a lot of Nassib.
Yep.
And we will see probably less of Danny Shelton. So, I mean, I think, you know, those three or three top draft picks are the guys that, you know, you really want to see, you know, make an impact or at least show that the game is not too big for them.
You talked about wanting to be able to run the ball. Last year, the Eagles gave up 134.6 yards per game on the ground, one of the worst defenses against the run in the NFL. But part of that had to do with how often they were on the field with Chip Kelly, and they've switched now to this 4-3, the wide nine of Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, Billy Davis, you know, he had personnel that was probably more suited for a 4-3, and now they're going to be in it. They lost their middle linebacker for the second half of the season, Hicks. And, you know, I think, you know, they added a couple guys, you know, Tulloch is a backup linebacker.
It's a pretty good backup.
Yeah, and then you throw in the key to them is Fletcher Cox.
Yep.
I mean, Kendrick. He plays that three technique. Greco is, you know, he's going to have his hands full. I mean, he got a good exposure with McCoy. This guy's a little more powerful. McCoy's probably a little quicker. But, you know, there's a reason this guy was a number one draft pick.
And I think that, and Doug, just to think, you know, for me as to put myself in the shoes of an offensive coordinator, are there things you can do to help essentially run away from or to tire out a guy like Fletcher Cox at that three technique? And if so, what are those things? Do the toss outside game, do those become key factors about what we do, trying to avoid the middle of that defense?
Well, you'd like to make them run as much as possible, but the other thing is, you know, you can help out in your protection. If you're going to throw the ball, you know, be it a running back or, you know, tight end, somebody, you know, coming by and getting an extra shot on the guy to slow him down. So all of a sudden, you know, he's got his head in the swivel trying to find out, you know, where he's going to get hit from next.
You know, you talked about Fletcher Cox last year. 104 tackles, 16 and a half tackles for loss, 9.5 sacks. They also have Brandon Graham, who had 12 and a half tackles for loss, 6.5 sacks. And the secondary, Jenkins is their Pro Bowler, and then they've got Michael Kendricks at linebacker as well. So it is a good defense. I think if the Browns are going to win this game, they're going to win it because they limit the Eagles to less than 20 points. I think that's going to be a key. The Browns defense needs to be able to show up.
Yeah, but, you know, you look in their backfield. Ryan Matthews has had a couple thousand-yard seasons.
Very talented.
Former number one draft picks. Sproles is getting up there. He's, what, about 33? But,
yep.
You know, he can still hurt you in the passing game.
And he can hurt you as a returner. He's been the best punt returner in the NFL each of the last two seasons. If there's one area of the Browns that you think is going to surprise on Sunday, what would it be?
I'm hoping it's the running game. I'm hoping that, you know, in the preseason you're trying to, you know, evaluate people, and I don't think you're really putting in a game plan that emphasizes what your strengths are. And I think, you know, I would hope it's going to be the running game.
All right. How confident are you that the Browns can go in there and get it done?
Well, if you don't believe you're gonna, you can't. You're never gonna. So I mean, never played in the game. I never thought I was gonna lose. So I believe they can. I mean, but you know, the other thing is you can't turn the ball over. You can't make it easy for them.
Can't make it easy for Carson Wentz. It will be his introduction to the National Football League. I've got to imagine, Deke, that Ray Horton has got some blitzes in his back pocket that there is no way Carson Wentz has ever seen.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we go back to last year in the preseason against Tampa and what you know, we did against Winston, threw all those blitzes, and he looked like he didn't know where he was at. Now, the Winston we saw this year was a totally different guy.
Absolutely. Let me ask you one last thing. When you look at Wentz, so he played in the one preseason game, and he's worked in practice. So in practice, he's worked against their 4-3, the wide nine from Jim Schwartz. In the preseason game, it happened to be against the Buccaneers, also a strong 4-3 team. He's never worked even against the 3-4 in the National Football League.
No, he hasn't. I mean, but by the same token, as we said, if you know, if they come out in 3-4 wide receivers,
we'll be back in our four-man front.
We'll be back in the four-man front, yeah.
Yes, indeed. Doug Deacon will be on the call with Jim Donovan. I'll be on the sideline Sunday at 1 o'clock when the Browns travel to Philadelphia to open the 2016 season with Hugh Jackson as the head coach. Deke, appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you Sunday.
Sounds good.
All right, that's Doug Deacon. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines again, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. You can tweet us your mailbag questions using the hashtag AskCBD. Still to come, Doug Peterson. We'll hear from the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles with his perspective on this season opening matchup. That's coming up right after this.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. By the way, the captains we told you about earlier. Five captains, left tackle Joe Thomas, cornerback Joe Hayden, newcomer linebacker DeMario Davis, quarterback Robert Griffin III, and linebacker special team standout Tank Carter for the 2016 season. This is honor, which was voted on by the teammates. Marks the first time the Browns will have season-long captains since 2013. The last 2 years have been done on a game-to-game basis.
Yeah, and I love it. And I think that, as I said with Deke, you got two new guys and, you know, two of your longest-tenured Browns in Joe Thomas, Joe Hayden. And if you look, as you mentioned, Johnson Bademosi no longer here, Marlon Moore no longer here. If you talk about Cleveland Browns special teams, you know, you don't have Phil Dawson. You know, you don't have, you know, Andy Lee would have maybe been another great pick as a punter. But the next guy in line became Tank Carter. And I think Tank Carter was a guy that you and I probably entered training camp with Dominique Alexander and with Scooby Wright that was on the bubble. He was familiar with this Ray Horton scheme. You know, he and I are, we know each other outside this building. And he just talked about loving the hire of Ray Horton. And you could see when DeMario Davis and Christian Kirksey would come off the field, Tank Carter would come in and play next to Dominique Alexander or Scooby Wright. Yep. And Tank Carter would play two series and get out. And the other remaining young players would stay out there. So he is an asset for this defense because I think he's one play away at either the Mike or the weak inside linebacker position. And obviously what he does on special teams is something that's special.
It is something very, very special. And before we hear from the Eagles head coach, let's bring in our producer, Matt Fontana. Fontana, what's up, bro?
What's up, guys? Have you been wanted to bring this up before we get into the mailbag again? You can tweet your questions at Browns_daily. Use the hashtag AskCBD, but I wanted to see if you guys saw what Coach Brian Billick, I shouldn't say coach, he's not a coach anymore, but former coach Brian Billick has been saying. Billick predicted that the Browns would go 0-16.
He said, Fontana, I just want you to know that it warms my heart that while you are producing our show, you listen to it, because we did basically a segment on this and even talked about it with Deke. It's outrageous, 0-16. Although
did
he does say if we win, he's going to wear the jersey.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. Making
yes,
sure you
indeed.
Saw that.
Yes,
okay.
Indeed.
We will continue on then.
Okay. All right.
Tweet at, again, at
CBD. I'm
going to
start putting messages into the show for you, Fontana, and then
okay.
Finding out afterwards if you've listened.
Today, probably not. This one's from Jim. He says, guys, do you think Ray Horton has been able to install most of his defense by this point in the season?
Oh, definitely. He definitely has. The hard part is, and I thought he tried to accomplish that with, you know, with Nate Orchard playing deep into the fourth quarter. The hard part is there are certain things that you want to see guys do or guys line up in an actual game in the preseason. And then you have to border on, I can't line up in this or show something, because then, you know, you get the wheels turning of other offense coordinators or other teams about what could they do out of that look. So everything was probably very vanilla, minus maybe, you know, that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers football game. Everything is in. I think everything is in. But just the same thing that I'm going through on my level, you know, is, you know, at the high school level as a coach, when you watch a bunch of film, it's a copycat league. You're going to basically try to test that team the same way that you saw another team have success. Now, we don't know Doug Peterson and his system as the Eagles coach, because this is his first game. The same way they don't know us with Hugh Jackson. As we heard from our players, there are a lot of things that we have yet to show. So I think that, you know, the imagination for you and I, Nathan, are running wild, both offensively and defensively. So it is all in. My only question is, as they continue to watch film and put together a game plan, what front are we going to be in the most? Is it going to be that 4-3 defense? Is it going to be the 3-4? As you said, Carson Wentz has never really played against it, especially not at the professional level. Or is it going to be some of the 5-2 stuff that they might like in certain down and distances to bring in a better run front, create that 8-man box to stop Jordan Matthews and force Carson Wentz to throw the football against Jamar Taylor, Joe Hayden, or one of our safeties?
I say, let's do that. Let's stop the run. Pat Kerwin, former NFL GM who works at CBS, was talking, of course, the Real Football Network, talked about this, and he doesn't believe the Eagles can put enough of a plan together for Wentz to be the reason they win. He doesn't have enough work in to be ready. He will have a lot on his mind, and the staff will really have to simplify the game plan, which might not be enough to beat the Browns. He said everyone involved has to understand this is a learning process. They need to protect him from himself and not be afraid to pull him when necessary and get ready to have Chase Daniels finish his share of games this season. In terms of X's and O's, we expect Peterson to focus the passing attack on the short game, leaning heavily on the tight ends, Ertz and Celek, as we have said, and they will give Wentz a basic blitz protection call that is a foundation check down in the West Coast offense. You can also expect to see a heavy dose of the run.
Here's another aspect that I just thought of as you were reading off, you know, Pat Kerwin's comments about this football game. Carson Wentz, who is a leader, he's confident, he's smart, he's all those things. But the one thing that also has to creep in his mind, that if I go out and I, you know what, down my leg, how quick is the hook going to be for a guy like Carson Wentz, your number two overall pick? Because you got a guy in Chase Daniel who took some of the reps with the ones, all of the reps with the twos, and is one play away. And you've got, I think, what, $12 to $14 million invested in him in guaranteed money. So he's not going anywhere. And I think this is something that if he doesn't have success again, maybe Carson Wentz plays through week one and the Cleveland Browns win, they could very well start Chase Daniel week two and move forward because they know what they have in Chase Daniel. And I think Carson Wentz, for all they know from a game standpoint, is 38 plays old in the first preseason game playing against twos and threes in the NFL, and it was not all that impressive.
It is going to be an interesting experiment, to say the least, Ray Horton. But when you hear things like that as a defense, as a defensive player and as a defense, when you're, they're going to really have to simplify the game plan. They aren't going to have, you always talked about where teams in the chess match, you show them A and then it's A+ and then A++, you know, all those. They're not going to be able to get to those next levels Carson Wentz.
No, and unless, and we heard Adam Kaplan say it yesterday, he has that early success, and then there's that a second portion of the game plan, the B, you know, to all those A's that they came out with, and then we'll start to trickle in those B's, and if Carson Wentz can grasp those things, then you get into the, you know, maybe a C or two to take advantage and capitalize on what they've seen, you know, in the Cleveland Browns preseason tape and what they expect a Hugh Jackson or a Ray Horton offense to look like.
If they try to simplify the and you know, cut the field into a third for him and have him make his throws, it, you know, basically one or two reads and then go. If the Browns can stop him and get him into third and long situations, stop that ground game, I really think that they're going to have times where he's going to look, it's not going to be open, and he's not going to know where to go with the ball or what's happening.
And that's what's exciting for me. I'm just thinking of something like that happen. Is, you know, he takes his five-step drop, he looks to the right, and you take away what he's going to, and you bring a backside blitz of some sort, you know, a backside corner blitz, you know, off the edge, and you hit Carson Wentz in the back of his head. Boom, sack, force fumble, let's pick it up, let's scoop and score. Those are the type of scenarios that I think, as I'd want to mix and match against Carson Wentz, that I can do, show one thing on the front side, or and I think over the course of maybe the entire first quarter and probably midway through the second quarter, we're going to get a strong understanding of exactly what Doug Peterson's game plan is for Carson Wentz, and we're also getting a strong grasp on who Carson Wentz favors in the passing game. Is this a tight end driven game plan with, you know, sparsely going to Aguilar and Jordan Matthews outside, even though you're going to want to take your shots, but it's like, let's work the middle. Let's work those tight ends. Then you can force, we can take them away or limit them, because we can never take away, you know, everything, but then force those long throws to make those NFL throws, the deep comebacks, the deep overs, you know, on timing routes, timing patterns, where the ball's delivered before the receiver's even looking for it. No, I don't think we're going to get that in week one from Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is going to want to be sure of himself. And that means that receiver is in his route. He's turning and coming back to the football. And I think that plays into the hands of our veteran cornerbacks, Joe Hayden, Tremont Williams, Jamar Taylor.
You would think that they can throw some trap coverages out there that are going to get him, you know, an opportunity.
Like JT Barrett. JT Barrett's first throw of the year was a trap coverage with some, you know, an underneath dropper zone blitz when he thought he was going to throw an 8-yard completion for a curl. You know, an underneath linebacker, you know, shows one thing, plays another, picks it off, runs back for six. And everything thereafter was 77-3. You know, and I mean, some Buckeye fans were concerned. But little things like that that you can do with different zone blitzes, and now it's just a matter of how comfortable the starting 13 to 15 contributors on defense can get in the plan that Ray Horton has constructed and they implemented this afternoon right now at practice.
Yeah, they're doing it right now at practice today. Walk people through the normal schedule. Wednesday.
So Tuesday is players off day. So you'll get, I mean, at this point in the season, you'll get anywhere from 15 to 30 players visiting Berea for a matter of a half an hour to 2 hours to get in the cold tub, get in the hot tub, maybe get a lift in. You know, watch a bunch of film, maybe pop in your position coach and go, hey, what's the plan? And it all depends how they're probably ahead of schedule in their game planning and might have had it done by midday yesterday. And that way they can get it on Hugh's desk and he can review it and so on and so forth. Where a player, you could probably come in and get a strong understanding of this is the core of what we're going to do defensively or offensively. And these are the new accessories, you know, the B's, the C's, and the D's of how we're going to attack the Philadelphia offense or defense. And you can take those home and start studying them and apply them based on your film that you see. Today, guys came in. They've had special teams meeting in the morning. This is my old typical day.
Yep.
Special teams meeting, a lift in the morning, special teams meeting in the morning. Then you go offense, defense, and you throw out the grand scheme, and then you break into your position groups, and your coach really coaches you on those new nuances. Then you break, you have your lunch, you know, you get taped and ready for practice, which is right now. You do 2.5 hours, probably a walk, 45-minute walkthrough, then a two-hour practice. So you're about on your legs for maybe 2.5 to 2 hours and 45 minutes off. you get showered, you know, you get your treatment, and then probably old schedule was 4 o'clock. We do 15 minutes of special teams, 4 to 4:15 special teams, and then essentially 4:15 until usually no more than 5 o'clock, but until you're done watching your film, and then you're done for the day. Wednesday, Thursday are essentially the same. You just cover different things. Today's predominantly a first and second down day. Tomorrow's predominantly a third down and red zone day. And then when you get into Friday, you get into the small, you know, the coming out situations, the goal line situations, right, the end of the game situations, those specialty situations that happen in a game, but you have to be prepared for. Just so much of the game is first, second, and third down.
Yes, you do have to be prepared, and they should be. What would you say to this? Scooby just tweeted us, and he said, I said Wentz
right?
was the most NFL ready for a reason. Expect their whole offense. He's got it mentally, just physically no reps.
That's fine.
What would you say? What's
that's
the reality?
Like my toddler, you know, knows the entire alphabet, but doesn't know any words and can't, you know, it's like he can write out the entire alphabet, but essentially he can't say the alphabet front to back or tell me what's the fifth letter of the alphabet. It's, I guess the thought process behind it is there's a difference between me knowing it, because again, at the high school level, my backups know our defense front to back. These kids are I have a highly educated backup linebacker who knows exactly what to do. He asks all the right questions, but when he goes out there, he can't play a lick of football. And that's why he's a backup. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm talking about, so there's a difference between knowing it and going out and doing it. And that's why I think, you know, how Carson Wentz learns is probably a lot to do with their evaluation, you know, of him being drafted number two. The Philadelphia Eagles had to fall in love with it, with how he sure. processes information, you know, but he's never done it at the professional level. So we're really going to see, and I think Doug Peterson and those offensive coaches are really going to customize and build. And in some cases, if I were – well, Jordan Matthews is going to get a heavy dose, but if I were Nelson Agholor and Jordan Matthews and I was able to run 95% of the playbook and get excited about 95% of the playbook with Sam Bradford or Chase Daniel, and now I'm playing 50, that's not exciting, you know. All the routes that I thought, you know, if I were Jordan Matthews and I'm in year three and this is going to be my Pro Bowl year, now I'm playing with a rookie and the tight ends are going to be featured in the offense. Yeah. I'm not happy running decoy routes if I'm Jordan Matthews.
And it's one thing to do it on a whiteboard. It's another thing to do it when the clock's down at 5 seconds on the play clock. They've checked to something that you've never seen defense.
Right.
And you have to make a
and
call.
And other guys getting paid millions of dollars and have proven to be starters in the NFL are barking down your neck too.
It's going to be interesting. I think the Browns, because of Carson Wentz, have a much better chance in this game.
Oh, absolutely.
And we'll certainly see. Now, Doug Peterson, the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, supremely confident in his rookie quarterback. We'll hear from him next.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And momentarily, we're going to go hear from the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles as he talks about this game and Carson Wentz and why they're so confident in the quarterback. But before that, I do want to say to you guys as well, where I'm from, Browns fans, head to whereimfrom.com then for your chance to win an autographed Joe Hayden t-shirt. And a Where I'm From apparel gift pack. Winner will be selected on Sunday morning before the game. They are comfortable shirts. Matt Wilhelm sporting one.
I have one on right now.
How comfortable are they?
Super comfortable.
They're like the softest
shirts. Like pajama comfortable.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very good. So get one. Where I'm From, there are stores all around Northeast Ohio. And also, if your Social Security benefits have been denied, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. Now let's hear from the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Doug Peterson.
Coach, can you talk a little bit about Carson Wentz starting this game and just you know what that means for you guys to be trying to get a rookie ready so quickly for this game?
Yeah, you know he's I tell you what, obviously a great opportunity for him and you know with the trade it definitely sped up Carson's timetable to play, and we're excited for that, and he's ready to go. He's I've said all along, and he's such a sharp guy. He studies, he pays attention to detail, and it'll be big for him from a preparation standpoint to really fully understand the game plan and study the film and do the things that he did in college and what I've seen so far these last couple of days. But you know, the biggest thing I think for any quarterback, particularly a rookie quarterback in the first game, is just how well you can control your emotions early in the football game and your the nervousness and all of that, and just kind of settle into the football game. And of course, you know, we can help him as coaches in that regard. But at the same time, he's looking forward to it. We're excited for him to get this chapter of not only his career but our career together off the ground on Sunday.
Was there any part of you that worried about damaging him mentally, or you know, if it's, you know, things, if there's a lot of adversity he has to deal with?
No, not at all. You know, even his senior year at North Dakota State with the injury that he had, he's kind of gone through a little bit of that, and he's felt some of that, you know, as a starting quarterback and not playing for several games and then trying to come back, and so he's been through that a little bit in college, and you know, he's such a he's so strong mentally that I feel, you know, fully confident that he's going to be able to handle just about anything. And you know, from our media here, this market here in Philadelphia, to the fans, to just the national spotlight, and you know, just the way he handles his business and how he sort of compartmentalizes everything each week from a day-to-day standpoint, you know, I just encouraged him the other day to really be careful on the amount of things he does outside of the building, from appearances to radio talk shows to, you know, different interviews and things. Just limit that stuff, you know, and then obviously I can help him there and get him focused on the game.
Hey, Coach, even after the trade, you certainly could have started Chase Daniel to begin the season. So with Carson only playing in the one half of the preseason, what are the things that we didn't see out there on game day during the exhibition games? What are the things behind the scenes or in practices that he did to convince you that he should get the nod?
Yeah, you know, the things that we saw in practice, or what I saw in practice, is just the plays that he's been able to make. You know, he's had an opportunity to work with our starting receivers throughout camp. Maybe not the offensive line, but definitely the starting receivers, the way we handled the rotations at the quarterback position. And the plays that he's made in practice, going against, you know, even our starting defense, and just the way he's handled things, the way he calls plays in the huddle, the way he can, you know, just spit out the verbiage, and you know, his athleticism, you know, the way he can move and scramble and make some plays, you know, with his legs, much like, you know, RG3 can do. And, you know, it's just it just felt so comfortable, you know, putting him in this spot. And you know, we obviously made the trades this offseason to move up to get a guy like Carson Wentz. So now we, you know, I felt fully comfortable and confident that now's the time to go ahead and start him from day one, and just based on everything that I've seen through OTAs.
Doug, do you think he's any more motivated in this game to play against a team that didn't want him?
No, I don't think that's a factor at all. In fact, I don't even think that even factors into his thinking. You know, he's such a what I've seen already from training camp and the way he studies and prepares the last couple of days in the film room and getting all the mental reps there. You know, I just think there's a bigger task at hand than that, and that's obviously playing on Sunday and in his first start.
Hey, Doug, were you guys aware that, you know, that Paul DePodesta, the Browns' chief strategy officer, mentioned that he didn't think Carson was a top 20 pick? And if so, how is that playing out in your building, in your locker room?
Well, yeah, we definitely had heard the comments and all that. But you know what? It's everybody has their opinions. And listen, you know, we went to – you know, we went to North Dakota. We worked him out. We spent a lot of time with him, like everybody that's drafted quarterbacks in the National Football League. If you don't spend time with those guys and come away feeling comfortable about your decisions, then you should probably look somewhere else. And we just felt so comfortable at the Eagles to make the moves to go get Carson Wentz, and felt very strong about the way we evaluated Frank Reich, John DeFilippo, Howie Roseman, his team, Tom Donahoe, you know, just looking at everything and exhausting everything, and just felt real comfortable. So, you know, everybody's going to have their opinion, obviously, just the way this business is. But we're very comfortable with Carson and the direction he's headed.
Coach, after you've worked with him now for a while, obviously maybe not as much as you have wanted to in the preseason games, but after working with him as much as you have and seeing what you have of him, are you guys more convinced than ever possibly that you made the right decision and kind of just giving up so much to get him?
Yeah, I'm very comfortable with what we had to give up, and then obviously with the trade this past week to get some of that back. Has really been a blessing for us, but you know, I'm very comfortable because you're playing for the now, you're playing for right now. You can't, you know, I've things that I believe in is I can't even speculate to next week. I can't even speculate to next year. You know, you're playing for this week and this week only, and that's all we're guaranteed. And but from that standpoint, yeah, I'm very comfortable and with the things and the decisions that we've made, our whole off-season process leading up to the draft, and then you know, the things that have transpired the last, you know, 4 or 5 days.
Hey, Doug, you hold your own place in Browns history, of course. You're number 3 on the list of the 24 quarterbacks who have so far started for the Browns as quarterback since 99. What do you remember about the one win you pulled off?
Well, just it was almost like a relief, you know, a weight, a burden off your shoulders. It was exciting, obviously, to get that win finally, and you know, just sort of the excitement that the guys felt, you know, walking off of that field, just because I remember too. I mean, that team that year was decimated with injury, and there were a lot of new faces that year in Cleveland, and playing with a lot of new guys. It's tough in the National Football League to play with so many young guys and so many new players, but to finally get that win and to walk off of all the hard work and everything that you've put into trying to get just that one win was the exciting thing, and just the joy walking off that field knowing that you had accomplished that win.
Hey, Coach, how did the Sam Bradford trade kind of affect the guys in the locker room, and do you think it changed the expectations within the organization for this season?
I don't think it changed the expectations because the expectations stem from my leadership as head football coach, and those expectations are still extremely high. You know, we obviously expect to be competitive, and we expect to to like everybody, you know, win football games. And that's our job as coaches and players to do that. Those expectations are still there. You know, as far as the locker room goes, the guys have really they've been around Carson now for quite some time, and they've seen his leadership on the football field, off the football field. You know, was it probably sad to say that some of them are going to miss Sam? Yeah, I mean, everybody has relationships, and they build relationships over the last couple of seasons, but at the same time, I think they realized that the type of player that Carson can be, having gone through it through training camp and seeing him on the football field, and know now that he's he's the leader and he's the face of the team.
Hey, Coach, does the fact that that Carson played in a pro style offense, has that hastened his adjustment to the NFL, and does that make him so ready to step in and start this game?
It definitely helps him, you know, from that standpoint. He's very familiar with the pro style and what we're doing here offensively, it's just for any young player, and especially the quarterback, is just coming in and learning the terminology and learning, you know, formations and where we put guys, you know, on certain plays and how we're trying to attack defenses. And, you know, it's just that part he's just got to, that's the part he has to study and learn. And that's what OTAs are for and training camp is for. But coming out of that style of offense in college obviously gives him a little bit of a leg up just understanding, you know, we do a lot of the same things here that he was familiar with in college.
Hey, how much of an unknown are the Browns because they have 17 rookies and such a young roster, and even RG3, you know, with the new team and not having played at all last year?
Right. You know, it there's a little bit there. The surprise element can obviously get you in the first couple of weeks, but, you know, that's something that, you know, there's still some leadership on that football team that will challenge those young players and get those young players to play. It's you kind of get thrown into the fire right away, and you know, it's a lot like Carson here. I mean, you get thrown in right away, and you got to mature quickly. And but you know, I just know that what we've seen so far, you know, through training camp and what we've watched, you know, this team plays hard, this team plays fast and aggressive, and a lot of times, you know, young players that do that usually end up in the right spot or end up making big plays, and that's what you've seen throughout training camp with this group. So, you know, going into week one, you know, everybody has wrinkles up their sleeves, and those are the things you have to sort of guard against. But at the same time, knowing that you may not be able to do everything you would like to do because of the youth of some positions, but at the same time, you know you're going to get everybody's best effort.
When you were watching Carson's college game, were there any moments where it was like he was like a man among boys?
Yeah, you know, you see sometimes, you know, some of the decisions where he was able to pull the ball down and run. You know, his big body, big frame, the athleticism. You know, obviously playing in a smaller conference allowed him to sort of, you know, his athleticism and his ability to shine a little bit more. And then even in the big games, even in the you know, championship games over his career, just seeing how well he led his football team and you know, the toughness, not only mentally but physically, some of the pounding that he took, just showed you that he was very capable of handling the National Football League, and that's why we came away when we left there back in the spring, came away saying this kid could be pretty special in our league.
Coach, what is it about Fletcher Cox that, you know, led you guys making such a big investment in him in June?
Yeah, and I have history with Fletcher because I was here when we drafted him under Coach Reed, and had a chance to kind of watch him then and watch him mature as a player. And he's such a dominant force on the defensive line. He's obviously a leader of the football team and leader of the defense. And you know, the things that make him special are just his attack mentality. I mean, he's great off the football. He's quick off the football. He's powerful. Can generate pass rush and get to the quarterback. And you know, teams are aware of that, and teams are gonna try to put four hands on him as well. It just lets you know that he's got that respect around the National Football League. And so from our standpoint, you know, we just felt that for us to get to where we need to be, we need to keep a guy like Fletcher on this roster and on this football team for a long time.
That's head coach of the Eagles, Doug Peterson, obviously confident in his young quarterback. And I hope he looked like a man among boys when you draft a guy from North Dakota State. Al Saunders was saying, if you don't know, if you can't tell from watching the tape who the guy is you're supposed to be watching, he's probably not good enough to be watching. But I think Carson Wentz, obviously, you can see a lot of the things, a lot of the traits. It'll be interesting to see if he can do it. I think the Browns certainly have an opportunity to take advantage of that going forward this Sunday against the Eagles. When we come back, quick final thoughts. We wrap up this Wednesday on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. We looked at the offense of the Eagles, and I think it's going to be a game plan built around Ryan Matthews and quick hitting passes to Darren Sproles out of the backfield and tight ends Zach Ertz and Brent Celek. Browns are going to have to stop that run. It's going to be imperative. Tomorrow we'll take a deep dive look at the defensive players. Obviously, you heard those stats earlier from Fletcher Cox, 16 and a half tackles for loss, 9.5
Over 100 tackles out of a defensive lineman.
Is ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. All right, that'll do it for us today. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. Tomorrow we'll look at the defense of this Philadelphia Eagles, continue the preview and getting you ready for the season opener this Sunday in Philly. We'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.